Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com. Support for The Common comes from Davis-Malm. Their tax attorneys take the time to understand your unique goals and find the most cost-effective ways to accomplish them, distilling complex tax laws down to clear choices so you can make the best decisions. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com.
Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it. Because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Barbara Moran.
Daryl.
How are you doing? Welcome back to The Common.
Thank you.
The Common is your playground. You can come here anytime.
So nice.
Barb, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
The saying, now you're cooking with gas, where did that come from?
I actually know this. I learned this in my research. It was made up by the gas companies in like the 30s to sort of...
Really?
Yeah, to get people psyched about gas stoves. Can you believe it?
Wow. So we're running around just promoting the gas industry.
Totally.
When we say that.
I say that all the time.
Well, Barb, you are a WBUR climate and environment correspondent, so I guess it makes sense you would find this out during your reporting.
Mm-hmm.
But now the question is, what exactly were you reporting?
So I did this newsletter called Cooked, which is about food and climate, and I just did a bonus issue of that about gas stoves versus electric stoves versus induction stoves, and what's better for your health and what's better for the climate.
You know, I've been hearing a lot about gas stoves and how they're bad for us and how we need to switch to electric. And I'm so glad we're having this conversation, Barbara. Like, what's the science behind all of that?
Okay. Well, I will say I've been reluctant to report on this story for a long time for a couple of reasons. I felt like maybe gas stoves aren't as dangerous as people say, and maybe they're not that environmentally bad. And I'm like, eh. And then I had a couple conversations that made me decide to report on this. So yep. There's two issues that I talk about with gas stoves. One is the health issue and one is the environmental issue. Mm-hmm. So gas stoves, turns out, there's a lot of bad stuff in natural gas, right?
Yep.
So even the unburned gas, right? The unburned natural gas is just sitting there in your pipes, has a lot of toxic chemicals in it. The worst one seems to be benzene, which is a carcinogen. And most people's pipes leak a bit. And so you're getting that stuff leaking into your house. And then when you turn the gas on and the gas burns, there's a whole another bunch of chemicals. So you have carbon monoxide, what they call NOx, which is nitrogen oxides, and carbon dioxide. And those, especially the NOx, is an asthma trigger. Gastros are the top pediatric asthma trigger in Massachusetts.
Wow.
Which I had no idea.
Yeah.
I was horrified. I have gastro and I had a kid with asthma and I felt terrible.
Damn, Bart, what are you going to do?
Okay, so here, what are you going to do? If you have a vent fan and the fan vents outside, then that gets rid of a lot of the problem. Mm-hmm. If you have a vent, though, that recirculates in the house, it doesn't vent outside, then if you're cooking, you should really open a window and get a fan that blows out, especially if you have somebody in your house with asthma.
Okay, that leads us into the second part of the question, because the fan is blowing all those gases out into the environment. So what's the environmental impact of gas stoves?
So I should say, if you're blowing the gases out of the house, that won't have a health effect on the outside because they'll be diluted, right? Yeah. So you shouldn't worry about, like, if you're blowing it out, you're poisoning your neighbors or something,
okay,
right?
Okay, that's good to know.
So the environmental effect is interesting because you would assume, I would say, that electric stoves are environmentally better than gas stoves. And that isn't necessarily the case all the time. Like, in general, in America, they have about the same carbon footprint, right? And that's because in a lot of America, people burn coal to make electricity. And so that has a big carbon footprint anyway.
Yeah.
So, however, in Massachusetts, we have, you know, some renewable energy and a lot of natural gas, which is that we're burning to make electricity, which is not great, but better than coal. So electric stoves here are a little better than gas stoves as far as carbon footprint. And as we get more and more renewables, they'll get better.
Right.
And then I had this really interesting conversation with this guy, Nathan Phillips. Mm-hmm. So he's super interesting. Nathan Phillips is a professor at BU and he's a tree physiologist, right? And like years ago, he started studying why all these trees are dying and it's because of natural gas leaks. And then he just went down this total rabbit hole about natural gas infrastructure. And he's this total advocate for electric cooking now, right? I went and interviewed him about this and he made an interesting point that I hadn't thought of.
If there can be a transition from gas cooking to electricity, then that opens the gateway for severing the gas line altogether into that house. And that opens up the possibility that the leaking gas pipeline in the middle of the street or under the sidewalk could also be eventually transitioned off.
You know, I mean, most people say too, like, the stove in your house doesn't actually use that much energy,
yeah,
you know, so why bother replacing it? But, you know, he makes his point that, like, the big idea is to transition houses off of gas totally,
okay,
eventually, right? And then that will get rid of these gas leaks in the street, these gas leaks going to our houses, which are dangerous, right?
So it's the infrastructure for the gas stoves, not the gas stoves themselves.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
And we're back. How many households in the state have gas stoves? Do you have a sense of that?
Yeah, I sure do. About 44%. So we're right in the middle of the U.S. I think the biggest state in the U.S. is California. It's got like 70% of the people there have gas stoves.
Okay.
The state with the least gas stoves?
Hit it.
Maine.
Oh, look at Maine.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing up there. I think they're using propane.
Maine is a very outdoorsy state, right? Maybe they're exactly. all cooking on open flames outside, you know?
They might be.
Okay, so 44% of households in Massachusetts have a gas stove.
Correct.
Tell me about the other 56%. Let's talk about electric induction. Let's talk about all of that.
Absolutely. Okay, so I grew up with an electric stove, which sucks.
Those are the ones with the coils that get hot.
Right.
I have one now.
Right.
Yeah.
So
not my favorite.
Yeah, they suck. They kind of suck, right? They're not great for cooking. They're kind of dangerous. They're hard to clean. The sort of newer electric stoves are what is called an induction stove. So that uses electricity. But what it does is it has a copper coil under the surface. It's got like a smooth black surface and underneath is a copper coil. And when electricity goes into there, it goes around and it creates a magnetic field. And if you put a pot on there, it sort of heats up the pot, not the air around it. So it's hyper efficient. And it's also like really adjustable. Like it's like gas in that way that you can turn it up and down really quick. Right. And so you've got that kind of adjustability with it. And I guess it also boils water super quick, like whoop.
Okay. I like that.
Like that. So that's sort of the new thing. But I have a gas stove, but I'm not just going to swap out my gas stove for no reason for a whole induction stove because that costs like a ton of money. But, you know, maybe when it's time to replace my stove, I might do that. But what some people do and what Nathan Phillips does when I went to interview him, which is amazing, he just uses an induction hot plate.
Okay.
And I was like, wow. And that's what he likes saying. He's like, this is your ticket into the energy transition. It's like a $50 induction hot plate. Mm-hmm. And you know what is super interesting? Because Massachusetts is so great, most of the libraries in Massachusetts, you can check one out of the library.
Look at that.
Induction plate.
So you could test it before you buy the induction plate that you're going to test for your major purchase of a stove.
Yeah, exactly. It's totally cool. Like you go and they give you like a bag and it's got a plate and like a couple pots and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, oh, cool. Yeah.
So Barb, if everybody in the state we're cooking with an induction stove, right? Let's say the 44% made the switch. How much of a positive impact would that have on the environment?
Yeah, that's a great question. Immediately in Massachusetts, it wouldn't be a huge impact, to be honest. And that's because most of our electricity here still comes from natural gas. So we're burning a fossil fuel to make electricity. So as long as our grid is still, you know, dirty, as they say, the induction stoves wouldn't have much of an impact. However, as we get more and more green energy, more wind and more solar, then that technology, the induction stoves, quickly become more and more green. And the other thing is that, you know, we have all this natural gas infrastructure, all these pipes, which leak a ton of methane. And methane is a really, really potent greenhouse gas that we want to reduce as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And I saw one stat that the methane leaks in the U.S. are like the equivalent of something like 500,000 cars running. Oof. It's huge. So that would be a great thing to get rid of. So there's that impact too. There's also the health impacts, which are something to think about.
Are there any incentives to switching from gas to electric?
Yes. So many incentives. Thank you for asking that.
Oh, yeah.
There are federal government incentives through all those, you know, the climate bill that Biden passed or the bunch of those. So there's incentives for the stove and for any electrical wiring you need to get done. And then the state has additional incentives specifically for swapping a gas stove out for induction or electric. I think it's $500.
Okay.
You can add it up and get some money off of it.
Well, Barb, before we go, if people want to learn more, where can they find your story?
Yes. If you want all the details, you can sign up for Cooked, my climate and health newsletter at wbur.org/cooked. If you're already signed up for Cooked, you'll automatically get this latest newsletter. And if you haven't signed up yet, you should. And there'll also be on wbur.org a full-length explainer with all kinds of details in it. But sign up for Cooked because it's funny and it's really empowering.
Right on. That's why we love you, Barb. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, that's why I love you too, Daryl.
That's WBUR climate and environment correspondent Barbara Moran. And that's our show for today. Thank you so very much for listening to The Common. If you have any thoughts on this episode, hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.